So God knows the plans. I wanted to make sure that you have Jeremiah 29:11, that God knows the plans he has for you. Now, if you think for one moment that maybe Peggy might have had a little bit of an inkling about, what about me? And no, it wouldn't happen to John and me, right? No, not much. Anyway, that's a little bit of what took place. I thought it would be wise to remind you that God's plans for the United States have been decreed by borders that have been placed by people of prayer, starting right here in New England. People who were persecuted in Europe. England was just a horrible place to be in if you didn't belong to the English church. If you went into the other areas of Europe, you had to be whatever they dictated. And if you weren't, you were outsiders. You were factory rejects from their point of view. They prayed themselves into reality of freedom, but it took years to get to cross the border, to cross from the European persecution to come here for freedom. They dedicated themselves. And obviously the church that we were in, I don't have a lot of history in it. I didn't get to do that. I hope to go online to get that, because I wanted to, but the want to didn't get manifested. But it's a very old building from the 1700s. And I confess to you, in truth, it was like going back in time for me. Because the church that I was brought up in was from probably the same architect. Because the way the roof is laid out, the way the windows are laid out, the ways the interior of the church are laid out, it's identical. Identical. Same type of stonework outside, same color type stones, granite, of course, and the steeples. The interior, it blew me away. And I said to John, I said, where we happened to sit, actually all three times, was right where I would have been sitting in that church atmosphere when I was a boy. Except there was one thing missing, the crow's nest for the priest, where he would go up into a little turning, spiraling staircase and go up, and he'd be preaching because there's balconies on both sides on the level of the church. And I said, I don't know where the crow's nest went to, but the intensity was, it was identical. And I kept saying to the Lord, what is this? You know, why? And I don't know why. But there was the old and now the new. And one of the things that I thought was kind of a highlight, I shared that part with Irene this morning, was they were pressed of God to eliminate all the benches. The pews were to be removed. And if I understood correctly, they sold a great percentage of them, and some of them went over to Wales, if I remember correctly, and shipped them over to Wales to a church probably that went back from the same type of, so obviously whatever quality benches that they had left, they sold them. But when it came to the last bench, James Levesque is a nice Canadian young man, by the way, I can qualify that one, was told of the Lord, you only got one bench left, and I don't want you to sell it. Well, of course, selling it would be helpful because, you know, you got to buy new chairs, you got to buy this, you got to buy that. And the church has been restored to a degree, but there's a lot more work to be done. So I'm sure the finances are a challenge because it's a very old building. And like anything else, old buildings require. Long story short, one morning he woke up, and the Holy Spirit said, the last bench you have to deliver to Jim Baker in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
Because this church where he is now is right downtown, but I'm presuming that it was used when there was a great revival in the 1700s. And it was a place where new deliverance and new directions were given to the colonies, especially Connecticut, obviously, and possibly Rhode Island. And the Holy Spirit said to James, the reason that bench belongs to Jim Baker, and I want you to deliver it to him, is because he is a pioneer to the television ministries of the United States of America and the world.
Wow.
So literally, he literally went over there and delivered that bench as a memorial of what he represents to many, many people today about what Jesus did by the Holy Ghost. And my wife says, oh my God, that is awesome. Because again, you got to remember, Irene was baptized in the Holy Ghost at PTL, 1982. And then on the way home, guess who else got baptized in the Holy Ghost at PTL?
Oh, okay. Yes.
What an affirmation for Jim Baker, though, after, you know, what he went through.
Yes.
From the Lord. Wow.
But the foundation that he laid
is
still being copied today. And so, you know, I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he says, let them share about what happened to them while they were at, what's the name of the church? Engaging Heaven. Engaging Heaven.
Wow.
He also shared that he was going to give up on Engaging Heaven because he thought the name was a drawback. And many people would not come to that church because of the name until the Holy Ghost readjusted him. So I thought that was kind of cool. Paul Keith, one of our saints, had a vision of him and Rick Joyner, wrote it all down, and gave a copy to his ministry leaders, because he flew back to South Carolina yesterday, noontime. And for Paul Keith, I was able to give him an envelope with the vision in it. So, what is God doing? I think he's having fun. I really do believe that the God we serve is having fun. And there are people that think they're nothing in the eyes of men and women. But I tell you, these that have a humble heart are serving the Most High God. Mm-hmm. One more thing that I need to share is God's divine appointments. While we were at the mall, probably getting some needed exercise to keep us awake, Gail and I and her husband were talking with John, and John decides that he's going to go walking. And so did Don. No, Don hung around with us, that's right. Don went. So this guy took some tick off, leaves his jacket, and when we finally caught up together, he said, oh, he says, we just had a prayer meeting down in the corner over there of the mall, and I met this young man named Richard. So that was kind of cute. And he kind of hinted that it was nice, you know, had a good time. So we're heading back because now we're looking for Deborah and Sven. And Gail connects to them on the text, and they said, well, they're going to be in such and such a place, so now we're going to walk back to where we came from, where we had been sitting, and we took off on John, but we figured he'd get a hold of us, and he did. So we head back, and guess who's coming out of one of the stores? the same two young men that he had ministered to, and one of them instantly connected, and it was another Holy Ghost moment. And the reason I'm saying that is because God knows who needs what. And we were there to give whatever God had given us, and we obeyed. Then, when we got back to church, Don and my brother and I sat in a car for, I'd say, 45 minutes to an hour, and helped Don understand some of the things that he was going through. And both of us were able to minister to him with pieces of the puzzle that sometimes don't make sense. So the coordinates were pretty cool. We get back inside the building, and there was nice worship music going on and so on. And just about a few minutes when the live instruments started to come to life and the singers were going up there, the Holy Spirit shows me this young man who's standing by the door. And we're in the center aisle. So I made my way around and over to the side door, and I gave this young man a word. The word is not important. What's important is what took place later. So I gave him what the Lord gave me, gave him a hug, and went back in my seat the same direction. Not to raise awareness, just to obey. So now we say goodbye to the young man that we had ministered to at the mall, gave him a hug. His buddy gave him a goodbye, and a see you later type of thing. And John kind of heads towards the back, and I said, no, we need to go side door. So he says, okay. So we get to the side door, and this young man that I had ministered to, he's got his iPhone, and he's got all these words written out on his iPhone to what I had spoken. And he's trying to tell me, is this what you said? And I said, I don't know. I'm not that smart. What came out is what came out. What you remember is what's important. So he said, by the way, what's that thing you got around your neck? He says, that's the Star of David, right? I said, yes. He said, are you Jewish? And I said, well, by adoption. And how did you get this? And I said, well, I got it when I was in Jerusalem. You were? And of course, he wakes right up, right? He says, I'm from the tribe of Levi. I'm a Jew. I said, whoa, this is cool. He lit up. He was so lit up. But we had kind of watched him the night before because he carried his little girl in his arm. And there was something symbolic about how he took care of her. And it was so sweet to watch him, because she was like 5 or 6 years old. And everywhere he went, he carried her. And I'm thinking, why is he so much in my face? You ever wonder why somebody's in your face? Well, he's in my face over and over. So now, we end up praying with him one more time. And I said to him, by the way, what's your first name? Oh, he says, my first name is Corey. I was named after Corey Ten Boom. Oh, really? So we're not going to forget Corey Levi. And it was a sweet moment. So a little piece of Jesus was deposited in Corey, and a little piece of Jesus was deposited in Richard. So why do we remember their names? Because they're so spectacular. And I pray God will coordinate them to visit when it's time. So, sir?
You want me to cover the highlights? Or?
Cover whatever.
Well, let's see. I have 11 pages.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute here.
You say cover whatever. We have 5 hours, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So Rick entitled his presentation, To Infinity and Beyond.
Yes.
Sammy likes it. he talked about Colonel Moore. There's a book, We Were Soldiers Once, and made into a movie, apparently. Or
it's a good movie.
And it was Colonel Moore was in charge of the U.S. forces that were the first battle that met, I believe, was it Korean or Vietnamese? I don't remember.
Vietnamese, maybe. Yeah.
And he was sighted, and there were witnesses saying that he was leaning against a truck and he was sleeping while the battle was becoming engaged. Okay. I read a little about this before and what actually occurred. Apparently, a number of our troops were airlifted into an area that had already been staged for a battle, and the enemy was well positioned, and if I remember, we were outnumbered 40 or 50 to 1, something like that. Because we're airlifting in 100 at a time, and they already had several thousand already positioned. And then it went from, you know, when the battle began, it got very furious. And so in the middle of that, they look over, and the commanding officer is leaning against the truck sleeping. And so he was brought up on charges to strip him of rank. And in those proceedings, he said, I wasn't sleeping. Oh, you know, what are you doing? You're leaning against a truck, you know? He said, no, I was asking three questions. What is happening? What is not happening? And what can I do about it? And Rick related that to the church. Okay, where are we? You know, what's happening? And what is not happening? What is the enemy trying to make you believe is happening, but actually is not happening? And he related it to Colonel Moore of he was trying to identify, you know, do I move resources into certain places, but is that where the enemy really is? He talked about crisis, which we know is in Chinese the word means opportunity and risk. And then he went into, it was like you were in, you know, 22 classes all at once, and you were monitoring them.
Yeah.
And you could walk by the door of each one, and you'd get a glimpse there, then next door you get a glimpse there. So he mentioned a few things I'll just share. Big trials mean big opportunities. I'll just share the ones that just kind of hit me. Francis Frangipane, you never fail one of God's tests, right, which I always thought was kind of an option. You could fail. You just keep on taking the same test until you pass it. Okay, so that relates to going around the circle and,
right.
You know, wow, this view is pretty familiar. I've been here before, you know. That this life is all about training for reigning. He mentioned Revelation 4, which I think Paul Keith was looking at also in one of the recent webinars, about the door to heaven being open. He says, as far as he can tell in Scripture, the door was never closed. And this one hit me square between the eyes, which is, every one of us is as close to God as we have chosen to be. It's like, whew, you know, miss me, but it didn't. So when you're in the midst of the trial, you should be asking yourself, as a method of encouragement, of how is this trial changing me into His image? Because that's what Father God wants. He wants us to be into Christ's image. And then he went into a whole section talking about God as a marching God, which is beyond. So, okay, this is personal. For years, I don't know how many years, but for years I've told Anne, God's trying to kill me. Okay? And she'd say, nah, what are you talking about? You know, don't say stupid things. That's not her words, that's my words. And so Rick says, have you ever considered that the two mightiest beings in the universe are trying to kill you? Okay? The enemy's trying to kill you before your time so you don't accept Christ as personal Savior. And as you accept Christ as your personal Savior, then the Holy Spirit is trying to sanctify and have you continue to release more and more parts of your life so that, you know, you your soul is being killed. And that's what we should desire for ourselves also. That's how we become Christ-like, is turning more and more things over to Him. Another thing that hit me was, you know, priests, you were disqualified as a priest if you had unhealed wounds or scabs. And the last...
You were disqualified as the priest in the Levitical order.
Then he mentioned a prophet, which I don't remember the name of, or did he say the name, that said, from their estimation, 98% of the prophecy that they've spoken will not come to pass. And the thought is, of course, well, you're a false prophet. You say, no, because a prophecy is an invitation. But it's up to you to pay whatever price of sacrifice is required in order to for you to walk into
the
prophecy.
To get it to manifest, yes.
Manifest. And this is, for me, and it was an empowering thing, that where you have been wounded, you receive authority to heal others in that specific area. So we should be looking at our trials and our wounds as equipping for what God's calling each of us to do. Last thing is, so many things. Well, if one was, if if you have a Saul that has been set over you, that means that there's a David being trained and arising within you. Okay? Because some of us have had bosses. This is not personal. Some of us have bosses like, you know, what does he want? You know? And that's because God is fashioning a David within you.
May I ask that you take for granted sometimes when you say David and Saul, but they were both kings. One had an attitude towards God because he saw what God was able to do, and then he went off and did his own thing. And one of the attributes of King David was that he was submissive to Saul, even when Saul was chasing and wanting him dead.
Right.
And never dishonored him as king, because he honored his position. Yeah. And that's our job. And our job is to honor those that are in authority, and not to, let's say, criticize what's happening in them towards us, because it's all about me, myself, and I, and we're aware of it, but we need help from the Holy Spirit to go through the challenge.
The only thing I'll say about Paul Keith last night, and I'm skipping over Robin right now because Robin was fairly intense, was there are a few times in my life when I have heard someone speak that you can tell that it's serious. It's, you know, the fluff is gone, and all the stuff that can be burned away is burned away, and all right, let's tell the truth. All right? And during part of the message at some point, at what point, he kind of just went away. And it was just the voice. But the authority with which he spoke and the rapidity of just boom, 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 you know, it was the Holy Spirit just speaking through him with authority and clarity, and just telling him this is the way it is. And you know, it's time to grow up and gird yourself and get fully clothed, because here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
My notes are pretty much the same for Rick that John picked up on. I have the same things written down. My impression of Paul Cape Davis is that's the first time I've ever seen him speak with such authority. I could distinctly see the change in the man.
Yes.
That what he's been through these last 2 to 3 years have definitely brought forth a very powerful man of authority. He spoke with that. It was so I could barely write any notes. It was like it was just pouring out of his mouth in rapid order, and way too much to digest at one time. He did mention the plumb line.
Yes, he did.
And he mentioned those plumb lines came in at certain points of history. For instance, when the just shall live by faith was nailed to the door, he said that was a plumb line. And from that point forward, we were all subject to that truth.
And to be accountable for it.
Right. And then he mentioned more, the John Wesley,
yes,
the Azusa Ministry. There was a couple more that he mentioned, but each one of those brought in a truth. And when one of those truths came in, each time they came in, we're accountable to that truth.
Right.
And there's no gray area. That's it. You're accountable to that truth.
The healing ministry was one.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not remembering that again.
Yeah.
It was so fast, I couldn't write all of those down. He then stressed very strongly that when God is coming in, he comes in with no judgment. It's a visitation. And God is visiting. And he mentions country, and then he mentions individual, that it's a visitation. But if the country or the person rejects God or rejects what God is saying, then judgment falls. He's very emphatic about that.
Very emphatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very. He was trying to point out the position of judgment. That was my perception, that instead of interpreting that God is coming with judgment, it's no. He comes with his visitation first. And then if the visitation is rejected, judgment falls.
Well, he used one thing that I thought was something variable that you can verify in your own scriptures. And when Jesus told the people of Jerusalem, especially the hierarchy, that they were accountable that he was the Messiah, he didn't beat around the bush, and that he was the one that had the living water, and the symbolics of the traditions of the feast were not acknowledged because he was the one with the tabernacle, basically. And they just denied it and refused him. But in 70 AD, judgment came. And his comment, I thought, that was pretty outstanding. I've heard it before, but he said, there's so many naysayers in the Christian community today that everybody says, oh, America is this and America is that. But he says, was there all kinds of bad people making sinful choices? Well, sinners do sin, and that's what they do. And he said, don't get bent out of shape, because God is looking at the ones that have the knowledge, and they are the ones that are going to intercede for the nation. And the visitation is around the corner. Mm. Pick up.
He's pointing out that Zechariah 3:7, where the plumb line, he went back to that because that's where I originally had heard it.
Yes.
What you believe matters. He stressed that very strongly.
Yes.
What you believe matters. And you're responsible for everything that God reveals. It's your responsibility. God reveals it. From that point on, you are responsible for it. And then he had quite a discussion about the bride of God and what the bride of God is. And bottom line it, I couldn't write all the notes. The bride of God shows the heart of God. She is the one that will reveal God's heart, because she is the bride and has paid the price.
Amen.
To be the bride. Again, I think I would almost have to re-listen to that. It was so much. I did listen very attentively to Robin. Robin McMillan. He used to be part of Rick Joyner's ministry. He's now pastor on his own. he based his message on Genesis 45, 25 to 28, when Joseph was confronting his brothers that he really is alive, and sent back wagons to his father to show that he is really alive. So in order to make that message, he said, and I forget where he said he was, but he was laying on his bed, and he was in one of those times that we all go through when he was questioning who he is, where he is, what am I doing here, and was having a hard time. So he stood up and spoke Psalm 91 over himself. I want to say the first five or six verses.
Yeah.
Spoke it. And when he got finished speaking, he went, ooh, something happened. So he decided to repeat it. So this time when he repeated it, he spoke it with great authority. And when he spoke it with great authority, it broke. So he laid back down in his bed and he looked up at the ceiling, and there was an air vent, and he said he saw himself going through the air vent. So virtually that's what happened. The Lord took his spirit up through the air vent, and when he came out on the other side, he was underneath a wing, a very, very, very large wing. And he said it surprised him the wing wasn't white, because that's what he thought it would be. It was brown. And underneath the wing were several large, priceless jewels, much bigger than what we see jewels, very large, priceless jewels. So then he realized what he had just said in Psalm 91, that you're under the protection of God's wings. That's what God was showing him. I'm under the protection, because the wing was huge. And then he started to see wagons of deliverance being delivered to him. So he saw a wagon of deliverance from deserved circumstances and situations and consequences. Notice it's a wagon of deliverance. The second wagon of deliverance was from criticism and the critical spirit.
Yeah.
And then he stressed, your identity determines your destiny. Then the next wagon was a wagon of hope, and he stressed that the helmet over us is a
helmet of hope. Yep.
The next wagon was a wagon of provision, and I didn't quite get the fifth wagon. There was five wagons. And he went back and focused on, he explained each one, but his focus was on the wagon of deliverance from criticism and the critical spirit. And he had everybody stand that has experienced this. I don't think anybody was left sitting. And then he said the prayer for deliverance from criticism, and then deliverance from the critical spirit.
Right.
And then he, at that point, called everybody forward that wanted personal prayer.
Yeah.
I was very blessed, very, very blessed by what he'd experienced, because I could really connect to it.
Yes.
But the whole experience, I can't even begin to put the words to what was happening inside. It's just, it's still all, it's changing, it's new, I can't put words to it, but I can definitely feel it. And I feel that as the days go by, that's going to become manifesting in new ways.
Yes.
Very new ways.
You want to make a note now, John has number five.
Oh.
Number five was the wagon of new vision.
New visions.
Yeah. Wagon of new vision for the U.S.
New visions for the U.S. Thank you.
Four is wagon of provision. Five is wagon of new vision for the U.S., where U.S. becomes a Goshen.
What was two?
Two.
Right. And he said these wagons were heaped.
Yeah.
Heaped. They were heaping high, just like the wagons that Joseph sent to his father, because the Lord was giving him his message, because he virtually, where he was, didn't have his message. That was a problem. But when the wagons came forth, that was his message. So he was again relaying that to us. Again, I felt he spoke with great authority.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Very, very, very
Very strong. Much so.
Very. You could feel it. in his presence, he's a very tall man.
Yeah.
And his whole presence, you could just feel the authority coming forth from what he had been through.
Amen.
Very, very much.
Wagon two was wagon of deliverance from criticism and a critical spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one he chose to...
He elaborated.
Minister.
Yeah.
Minister
to the elaborated and ministered.
Yes, yeah.
Deborah?
Well, one of the things that Coach John and Gail said I could identify with and touched me, but one of the big things that stood out for me was spending time with God. It's up to each person to, as far as they want to increase their walk with God, their mm-hmm. intimacy with God, mm-hmm. which has been, I think that press started here on Tuesday night.
Yep.
So Friday and Saturday, it's like each one of them said something that confirmed it for me, which is now me having to trust God to help me find that way to increase that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it was Friday night when Rick was talking about the going up and down.
The ladder.
The ladder. And that we are...
Jacob's ladder.
Messengers going up and down the ladder, which brought me instantly to a vision that was saw here to do with ladders, which I will at some point find out who had that vision.
It was Peggy.
It was who?
It was Peggy.
And some people stayed at a certain level on the ladder and stuck there. Others got off and came back down.
Yeah.
But we didn't remember who had the vision. Thank you for identifying. We're grateful.
Yeah. And the obedience to what we learn, to walk into it, which I've never heard it the way that he put it.
Yep.
Which, you know, of course, struck a chord. The things that we have been through, that everything that we have been through in our life, God wants to and can use those things to help and heal other people.
Amen.
Which, you know, I didn't even allow the head to get into, but Lord, there's so much. It was just plain and simple, accepting that reality that everything in my life that I've been through, God can use that to help others.
Amen.
In his timing, and I just have to be the willing and open vessel to walk through the door.
Amen.
And to go through it, you know, with God placing mantles on different people for different reasons.
Yes.
And part of those mantles can be... what I've been through to go forward and to just walk in that. I was also very blessed just to watch my son. Yes, I am going to pick on him a little.
Not fair.
But yes, it is.
He didn't wear a jacket.
Not that. That I was able to just leave my son be. And I got to actually watch him at different times. He didn't have to be told to stand. He didn't have to be told to raise his hands. He just was in the anointing of God, and he flowed with it, which is something I don't really see my son flow in. It was just awesome and a blessing to watch what God was doing with him through the conference. So
I hope he'll be able to wear that crown. Anything, sir? Then would you all stand, please? Put your Bibles down. We need to stand. Come on up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to close your eyes and repeat after me. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It's an awful lot of food.
It's an awful lot of food.
Spiritual food it is.
Spiritual food it is.
And it is really a Sunday.
And it really is a Sunday.
It's not a friendly Sunday.
It's not a friendly Sunday.
But it is a Sunday.
But it is a Sunday.
It's got ice cream. Because sometimes I scream. It's got fudge. It's got chocolate. Oh, it has nuts.
It has nuts.
Whipped cream. Which is a little fluffy. And then there's a cherry on top. Can I take this without gaining any weight? Will it give me a sugar high? I believe that's what God did. This day. Because we've got a choice. We can eat the whole Sunday. And prepare. Our hearts for a yes. To become. Everything that God has prepared. For me. To do. And everything in my past. To be used for His glory. That when I lay hands. Lift your hands right now. Say, when I lay hands. On those who are sick. Those who have been rejected. Those who have been abused. Those who have been accused. My hands. Will become God's hands. To release healing. To release victories. And salvation. And recreation. And we prophesy. That the house of prayer. Will be a house. For the broken. And they'll come to life again. They'll be resurrected again. Until the fullness of Christ. Manifest through us. Each vessel. No matter how nutty they may think. How chocolatey they may think. How creamy they may think. Jesus is. The cherry on top. And I'm part of Him. No one can stop it. Because it was God's decree. We are the fruit of the vine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Watch out, New England. Here I come. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you think I could have thought of that before you got news coming. I just saw Sunday. How is that going to work? So to God be the glory.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things you have done with His love, He has saved me. With His love, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
And now may the anointing of the Holy One of Israel carry you home, knowing that you are guarded by his awesome wings, protected from all harm. And I give you praise, Lord Jesus, as you take them through whatever testings and trials with the grace and favor that they carry home to be changed and to be an instrument of change for those who are broken. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.